Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. So we will continue Srimad Bhagavatam. We are on the 11th canto, chapter 28, text 38. The chapter is entitled Jnana Yoga. Please repeat responsibly. Yogino pakpa yogasya. Yungjata kaya utita. Upasarge vihanyata.
Upasarge vihanyata.
Tatrayam vihito vidhi.
Tatrayam vihito vidhi.
Yogina,
yogina
of the yogi, apakpa yogasya,
apakpa yogasya,
who is immature in the practice of yoga, yunjataha,
trying to engage,
kayaha, the body, utitai,
which have arisen.
Upasargai,
by disturbances.
Vihanyata,
maybe frustrated.
Tatra,
in that connection.
Ayam,
this.
Vihita,
is prescribed.
Vidhi,
recommended process.
Translation. And purport by his translation is and purport is by Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj. The physical body of the endeavoring yogi who is not yet mature in his practice may sometimes be overcome by various disturbances. Therefore, the following process is recommended. Please repeat responsibly. The physical body, of the endeavoring yogi,
who is not yet mature,
in his practice,
may sometimes,
be overcome,
by various disturbances.
Therefore,
the following process is recommended.
Purport. Having described the process of cultivating knowledge, the Lord now gives instructions to the yogi whose body may be disturbed by disease or other impediments. Those inferior yogis who are attached to the body and bodily exercises are often incomplete in their realization, and thus the Lord here offers them some assistance. Om Aginati Nirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milita Venatasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Madhavistam Stapitam Eina Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapanantikam Ve Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vishavanu, Sukadevi, Kanamani, Haridriye, Vanchakalpaturvishcha, Kripa, Sindhu, Bevacha, Patitanam, Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo, Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is almost at the end of the 11th canto. There is a few more pages, basically. This is about 100 pages to go, and of course with the purports it becomes 100, otherwise it's only a few verses remaining to the end of the 11th canto. And the 12th canto is quite small, so this is really at the end of Parikshit Maharaj's life in this 11th canto, especially these final moments. Who knows, maybe there was 1 hour left or few hours left, because few verses have left. So this is an intense moment, and here Shukadev Goswami is narrating the the Uddhava Gita, which is the Jnana Yoga aspect of practice. And why this is so important? Because Shukadev Goswami wanted to completely discourage any doubt within the mind of Parikshit Maharaj that there is anything worth while holding on to in this material world. So he was trying to cut out all the final attachments so that Parikshit Maharaj could become attached to Krishna completely, and he could actually attain perfection. So the 10th canto deals exclusively with Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book based on that. And as you know, some of the purports in the 10th canto were written by Srila Hridayananda Goswami Maharaj. Prabhupada kind of foresaw that this is what might happen, so he decided to write the Krishna book ahead of time so that he could give the most important guidance to his disciples in terms of the understanding of the 10th canto, which is in one sense the heart of the Bhagavatam, because it deals directly with Krishna. And in that way there would be no mistake, there would be no confusion about the position of Krishna, about the relationship of the living entity with Krishna, and the process of attaining Krishna consciousness, devotional service. So the 11th canto, Krishna speaks to Uddhava after Uddhava returns from Vrindavan, after he actually saw the topmost devotees, the yogis of Vrindavan, which are the gopis of Vrindavan, because Krishna wanted to send Uddhava to learn the topmost process of bhakti in Vrindavan directly by observing the residence of Vrindavan. So despite all that, still Krishna spoke to Uddhava the Uddhava Gita, and the Uddhava Gita deals with the subject of Jnana Yoga a lot, trying to cut any attachments to the material energy. Now, what is yoga? Yoga means relating, relationship with the source of everything. Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, the first verse explains Janmadiya Yasayata, the source of everything is Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In other words, from the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, which is considered the cream of the Vedic scriptures, the cream of Vedanta Sutra, it is has been established that the source of everything is a person. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That name Vasudev, Vasudeva, refers to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. And another translation of Vasudeva is actually the all-pervasive Supreme Personality of God, God who is present everywhere. So by chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya before the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are stating to the Lord, my dear Lord, I acknowledge that you are present everywhere. You are here in this room. You are basically permeating the entire creation within our vision and beyond our vision. So from the very first beginning of the first verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is firmly established that the source of everything, Janmadi Asya Yata, is the Supreme Conscious Being. Now, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam deals with the process of yoga, and particularly Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga has the topmost position of yoga because Bhakti Yoga is always connected to absolute purity, because Bhakti means total surrender, Sharanagati. Therefore, there is no impurities involved in the process of Bhakti. If one practices Karma Yoga, there is some business with God. I'll give you this and you give me that. There is some lack of surrender. If one practices Dhyana Yoga, there is some tendency to speculate and concoct. While the process of Bhakti requires total surrender. So on the neophyte stages of Bhakti Yoga, one may practice Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, because it is natural that one cannot just turn into a Paramahamsa within 1 second. But that is not discouraged, that is encouraged. So it is better to practice some form of yoga connection to the Supreme Conscious Being than no form of yoga. Therefore, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we'll be able to understand its contents. Otherwise, we may get confused, misguided, because the subject is so broad, so vast. These are 12 cantos. So many subjects have been touched upon. Even the subject of creation, the cosmic manifestation, the different planetary systems in the 5th canto, one may get completely bewildered and overwhelmed and confused unless one approaches Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of a pure devotee, bona fide spiritual master. This is the requirement. That's why the acharyas always give purports. There is the purports of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, purports of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course. Sridhar Swami was the original commentator. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, and now we have the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, which is our great fortune to receive the Bhagavatam and be able to benefit from the message of the Bhagavatam. So, this process of yoga involves relationship. So, as we mentioned, relationship means persons. Two individuals have been somehow connected. So, in this particular verse, it states that if an immature devotee or yogi who is practicing, sometimes may be overcome by various disturbances, disease, and he is being given a process by Krishna to be able to overcome these disturbances and continue on the path. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's been established Brahmeti, Parametmeti, Bhagavan, Iti Shabdete, that different yogis have a different perspective on the Absolute Truth. Some yogis will perceive the Absolute Truth as Brahman, in personal aspect of the source of everything. Others will perceive the source of everything as localized aspect, Paramatma. These are the mystic yogis, the first category of the impersonalist yogis. And then there is the bhaktas who perceive the source of everything as Bhagavan. Now, we understand from the acharyas that the source of everything must be a person, because if the source of everything was not a person, then where does the personality come from in this world? If the person is not a conscious being, then where does the consciousness come from in this world? If God was an impersonal entity, then if the source was an impersonal entity, then it's totally illogical that in the creation there will be variegatedness, such as personality and personal and impersonal objects. So, however, certain yogis, due to their lack of purity, they become impersonalists. Impersonalist means one who maintains quite a bit of envy in his heart towards the source of everything. Impersonalism is due to there is some level of envy involved, and one perceives that I am part of everything, I merge into everything, I am becoming one with everything. That usually comes as a result of distress. Generally, people become impersonalist due to distress, because personality means interacting, and usually persons hurt us in different ways in this material world. So an imperfect, immature yogi wants usually to discard the personal aspect. They think that if here is personality, and to deal with personalities is so painful in this world, therefore the opposite, the spiritual side, must be impersonal. That means that there should be no personality. And since everything is a vast ocean of energy, and I'm just a little particle, I can just merge myself into this vast ocean and I become non-existent. In other words, I will not receive any personal attacks or suffering from other living entities. So in that way, they elevate their consciousness beyond the duality of good and bad, hankering and lamenting. But of course, this is only a temporary situation, because according to the Shastra, we are Satchitananda Vigraha, we are an eternal spiritual entity. Therefore, the personal aspect is not foreign to us as an entity. Therefore, even if we merge ourselves into Brahman for a while, due to that scientific fact that we are a person, which is logical, because it's the source of everything is person, the creation can also be person. So we will want to interact, because we will feel bored in the Brahman. The bliss that is there will not satisfy the soul, because the soul has to interact with other persons to have happiness. So generally the soul will fall down into material world again to interact with materialistic personalities, unless Narada Muni purifies the soul from the Brahman. like we hear Prabhupada said, Narada Muni travels through the Brahman, and sometimes some impersonalists get liberated, lifted out from the Brahman, and they go back to the spiritual world. But because the soul is always hankering for yoga, for relationship, that's our identity, it cannot remain, that is not a perfect platform of existence. Due to that hankering, which is a part and parcel of the soul will be forced to seek engagement and interaction with the material energy again. Because there is no knowledge of God as person, naturally it will fall down into the material world. So, relationships are very painful, and in the material world, if one is not a devotee, of course, material relationships are very, very painful. And you can actually see how people suffer these days. Yesterday I was on book distribution, I was just looking at their faces and I was just amazed at how much suffering was expressed on people's faces. Confusion, bewilderment. There was even one lady, Asian lady, Chinese or whatever, she came out of one store crying. She stood there by one pillar on the street, and she was really suffering. That is quite an extreme emotion on the street, crying in front of everyone. So there is so much pain. So generally people through their limited mind, they conclude that the perfection of everything will be just to eradicate all that, because the cause for my suffering in this world is adibhautik, other living entities, especially human beings, because I give my heart to them and they destroy it. Mosquitoes, whatever, that's not a big deal, you know. We can tolerate that, but other human beings. So sometimes people become people haters, and they just live with a dog or a cat. They just don't want to see any people, you know. They just go to the shop, buy quickly and go home. They just become so impersonal, and but still they hanker for relationship. They have a cat or a dog, you know, something like that. So this is science. This Bhagavatam is not some kind of a sectarian belief system, concocted ideas. This is scientific, and you can actually examine it very scientifically and you'll find it's a fact. Then the mystic yogis, those who relate to the Paramatma aspect, they generally relate to the Paramatma aspect to exploit the material energy. They want to get some mystic powers to be able to control others, to read other people's minds and manipulate them in some way or other. So of course the Paramatma, if one is a devotee, one can get insights how to serve others and help others out of their suffering. But because we know what eradication of suffering is, pure devotional service, we can actually relate to the Paramatma aspect in a positive way for the benefit of others. But an impersonalist, mystic yogi, he will not know what the ultimate goal of life is. Therefore, he will just relate to the super soul to exploit and to try to gain different various types of power in this material world. So even that kind of yoga is imperfect. It is incomplete because it does not, one does not become the well-wisher of everyone in this world. So the first person, the impersonalist, is not a well-wisher. He is just denying and ignoring. Rather deny and ignore and avoid than just be a positive well-wisher, striving to help others. The yogi, he is trying to get as much money as possible from as many people as possible so he can enjoy sense gratification. And that's why you get so many mystic yogis going around the world showing some tricks, magic, flying in the sky, lying on a bed of nails, you know, just to impress the innocent public, and in that way they can make some fortune. There is one yogi now very famous on the television in India. He shows pranayama exercises for health, and so millions of people in India follow these processes. What's his name?
Ramdev.
Huh? Ramdev. Ah, Ramdev. So this fellow is probably a multimillionaire. So this is exploiting, because he is not liberating one from the propensity to exploit and to be sinful. So the only way you can free others from propensity, free others from suffering, really, is to engage them in the process of devotional service, which means that devotional service immediately eradicates the sinful tendency within the heart. It allows one to relate to the Supreme Conscious Being, Vasudev, Vasudeva Sarvamithi Samahatma Sudullabha, one who understands that everything is Vasudev. Then the Mayavadis generally speak, oh, you God, I'm God, everything is God. But that is just theoretical, because Prabhupada said, well, if everything is one, then give me your money. You know, and then they usually don't want to do that, you know. Or I am God, you God, they just speak sweet flowery words, but actually if you if someone attacks that person, immediately he will perceive that person as an enemy, not as a friend. The same with the mystic yogi. But the devotee, for example, Prahlad Maharaj, he was attacked by Hiranyakashipu. Another example is Haridas Thakur. He was attacked by the Qazi, the Muslim soldiers, beaten up so many marketplaces. Another example is even outside of the direct Vedic tradition is Jesus Christ. He was captured and crucified, and he never saw the murderers or the people who wanted to kill him as enemies. He actually prayed, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing. So you can see the consciousness of a devotee is very different. The devotee is the real well-wisher of everyone, because he is practicing pure yoga. He is purely relating to the Supreme Conscious Being in the mood of loving service. So why is that different consciousness there within the devotees? What makes the devotee different from an impersonalist and from a mystic yogi? Well, the devotee, because of his level of realization, Bhagavan, he understands that I am the servant of everything, of everyone and everything, because Krishna is everything. So I am not the master, the enjoyer and the exploiter. He realizes that because the source of everything must be a conscious being, according to, you know, a devotee usually gets his information from Shastra, he doesn't speculate, from Guru and Shastra. He is blessed by the pure devotee, and any person that is simple hearted can become a pure devotee by associating with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So what happens in this mystical process is that you realize your position in the macrocosm as a servant. Chivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nityadas Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Vera Vera Prakash. So you realize that you are one and at the same time different from Krishna. You are one in quality but different in quantity. You are subordinate to the Lord. Therefore you realize that I cannot place my existence into material relationships because they are painful. But since I am a person, Satchitananda Vigraha, Jivara Swarupa, Krishnera Nityadas, Nityadas, and the source of everything is a person, then I can place my relationship propensity, yoga, relating to that Supreme Conscious Being. So when we start doing that, Krishna immediately reciprocates, because he exists. Krishna exists, and he immediately reciprocates. And what happens when we serve him, even if we are motivated, Krishna takes the little purity that we have, and he, in one way or another, he reciprocates, and he blesses that soul to get more and more and more realization, and greater elevation. And gradually the devotee, through the process of devotional service, Bhakta mama vijanati yavam yascha smitatva taha tato mam tatva da gyatva vishate tada nataram. Through the process of devotional service, the devotee gets access to Krishna. One gets to know him as he is. I can be only known by the process of devotional service. So the devotee gets to understand more and more and more about Krishna, and automatically the propensity to hanker and lament disappear. The materialistic tendency within a devotee disappears if he or she practices the recommended process properly, very sincerely. That will generally happen, because there is tremendous cleansing in that process. But if one is superficial, he or she will remain on the superficial platform, sometimes for millions of lifetimes. So don't be a cheetah. Try to go deep. How do we go deep? Is we become sincere. That I realize my position as a servant, and I hanker for devotional service, and I lament if I don't get devotional service. Not that I hanker and lament for material objects, or hanker and lament for impersonal happiness, or hankering and lamenting for mystic power and control over other people. Hankering and lamenting is natural to the soul, but it has to be invested into serving Lord Krishna. So the devotee whose heart has become spotless by the process of devotional service, he does not anymore desire material sense gratification, because he sees that as an obstruction to his real ecstasy or real position. Just like if a person is married, he never, if he's genuine, he or she never thinks of having a relationship, an affair with someone outside of the marriage, because they realize that will cause an obstruction to my relationship with my husband or wife. Interesting. So they very much guard that relationship. They just see everything else as useless in terms of desire. So in the same way, the devotee sees that my only desire is to relate to Krishna, and this is the essence of my life, and by serving Krishna, I am situated in my original position. So anything else that may come, Maya may come and offer, my dear sir, my dear madam, it's a nice enjoyment for you, please come, have fun, explore this avenue, you immediately say thank you very much, I'm not interested, because this is just interfering with my original position. So the original position is that one becomes a well-wisher of everyone. Prabhupada always signed his letters, "You're ever well-wisher." How is this possible, to be a well-wisher of everyone? Then, because you see that everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna, you start to see the soul everywhere, and you see how people are suffering, and you know that nothing else will cure them but devotional service, Krishna consciousness, then you immediately become well-wisher, because when you see someone is suffering, you want to assist. And especially when you see that the person who is suffering is also son or daughter of your own Lord, your own beloved, right? Immediately you have this affection for others, and you become very much focused on performing sacrifices for the benefit of others. So in this way, the devotee is on the topmost level of consciousness, and the devotee can help thousands, even millions of people to become free of illusion and to re-enter into the original yoga relationship with the Supreme Conscious Being. The materialists are trying to perform yoga also, but they are trying to perform yoga by relating to material energy. They think that if I get as much as possible more and more material resources, I will feel more complete. They think this is yoga, you know. I'm trying to relate to this world. If I can become the emperor of the planet, you know, they endeavor for that. I want to get the whole planet for myself. There is the globe. There is the globe, you know, get it for you. So they think if I achieve this, I will become happy. It's an external drive. So they also perform in yoga, but in an imperfect way. But the devotee is trying to, is not negating, and he's not trying to hoard. The devotee is simply trying to serve. That cannot be found anywhere, without with no material motivation. Because the devotees know that whatever I need, Krishna will give me. I don't have to run around for artificially looking for something in this world. I just serve Krishna, and if something has to come my way because I can serve him in this way or that way, then that will come by Krishna's arrangement. I don't have to run around looking like crazy trying to sort out my problems. Of course, if someone is a householder and he or she is working or something like that, that is just a duty that we carry out, and we dedicate the fruit to Krishna, and we utilize some of the resources to serve Krishna, some of the resources for the family, you know, maintenance. But again, a devotee like this, they don't think that I am just running around to solve my problems. I'm just doing my duty, and then the result is up to Krishna. He gives whatever I have to get from my activity, and then I'll use it the way he will be pleased with, you know, because the devotee has to take care of his family. In that way, you know, Krishna will be pleased if he sees the devotee is taking nice care, inspiring the bhakti of his family, the bhakti in the family, and then of course supporting the preaching going on around the world. So in that way, all the problems of the world can be solved by the process of devotional service. There is no other solution, political, economic solution, pranayama solution, Ayurvedic solution, or whatever, you know. All these external things will not help. So if the world is now focused on spreading democracy everywhere and creating strong economies and happy, peaceful people, they'll never be able to make it, because the envy towards Krishna in the heart has not been removed. So there will always be friends and enemies. There will always be people who are aggressors and others who have been victimized because of that principle, until the heart becomes pure, just like the examples we gave little earlier. And in that way, one becomes a well-wisher and benefactor of everyone. So to conclude, here Krishna is speaking on Jnana Yoga, because Jnana Yoga deals again with the understanding of one's relationship with Krishna. And when someone is immature, Krishna will give few other verses here explaining how one should practice pranayama, certain mantras a day, certain even herbal type of remedies that one can take to improve the health so that one can increase his devotion. And again, Krishna comes by chanting of my holy names. One can gradually destroy all these inauspicious things that may come. So ultimately, everything in the Bhagavatam is geared towards the process of devotional service and relating to Krishna in a personal way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for a very nice discourse. Prabhupada also gives an example that the millionaire, he sometimes does suicide because he has not listened to anybody. So, yes. You want to give your comments on that?
The millionaire commits a suicide because he does not
have any relations with anybody.
Relations.
Frustrated.
Sometimes people they don't have relationships because they want to control everyone and abuse everyone, and that's why people avoid them. Everyone is looking for love. I'll tell you something very interesting. In the 12th canto is written that sometimes people say that God is an anthropomorphic creation of the mind of the human being. You understand? Anthropomorphic creation of the mind. So they say God is just a concoction of the mind. People have created it in their mind that there is God. Some people think like this. So Hridayananda Maharaj argues like this. He says that if there is a need, that means that substance exists. Like we need water. That means water exists. If you are in the desert and there is no water, that doesn't mean water doesn't exist, because you need it, but it's the wrong place. So we're in the material world, we cannot see God directly. That doesn't mean God doesn't exist. Now, some atheists may say to you, look, I don't need God. You see. So what will you answer to this? We will say to him, my dear sir, you think that you don't need God. If you do not need God, then why are you worshipping money? Why are you bowing down before your wife or your husband or whatever it is? Why are you trying to have a relationship with someone? Deep relationship, to worship, to serve. That means you have the tendency. That means you got the need to serve God. Interesting, huh? So even the atheist has that need to worship God, but it's misdirected. So the millionaire, he wants to be loved, but because he doesn't know how to love, he doesn't get the love that he wants, the reciprocation. Therefore he remains lonely despite his millions. He exploits and abuses and controls others, and ultimately he's so frustrated he just commits suicide. In Port Elizabeth in South Africa, one multimillionaire drove his car into the sea from one of these for the ships to you know, stop there. I don't know what you call these.
Yeah.
Appeared there. He just drove in and killed himself. So even an atheist has the need to worship God, but it's misdirected. He bows down. Instead of bowing down at the temple, he goes to the bank and he offers obeisances in the bank. You see, that's his temple. Instead of worshipping Krishna and the devotees, he is worshipping, he's trying to worship you know, other living beings, those who are bringing him the money usually. And as soon as they don't give him money, he kicks them out. So in a material consciousness, you can never have good relationships. You are always either exploiter or exploited, and that's frustrating. Any other comments or questions? Yes? Well, you cannot live without being motivated. The ultimate motivation is to be motivated to please Krishna and Guru and Vaishnavas. In fact, Krishna says, those who worship me are not my devotees, but those who worship the devotee of my devotee, you know, they are my devotees. So basically, if you serve Krishna's pure devotees, try to please them. What we are doing now, why we have this Sangha, is to learn how to relate to each other in the context of serving Krishna. So by pleasing you, I am directly pleasing Krishna. I'm pleasing Prabhupada, your spiritual master first. I'm pleasing Prabhupada, and then through the parampara, Krishna is receiving my service. And Krishna is receiving your service because you're also performing a service by allowing me to elaborate or glorify the Bhagavatam. You're also serving me and helping me to advance as well. So by serving me in that way, my Guru accepts your service, then Prabhupada, and then ultimately it goes to Krishna. So in this way we are all benefiting from each other's association. So everything that we do is about here, you know, in this Sangha, is about learning the art of pleasing the devotees. And of course, pleasing the devotees means that in the context of what will Krishna be pleased with. Not that we are naive and we get exploited by some cheaters that are pretending to be devotees or something like this. So this must be there. What will please Krishna? You see. So if that will please Krishna, to serve that devotee in that way, then I'll do it. But if that will displease Krishna, if this person has an ulterior motive, I won't do it. So one has to be very careful. So again, the Paramatma is there to say, hey, this guy has got an ulterior motive, watch out. But that relationship with Paramatma is not based on exploitation, it's based on service to Krishna. It's different. Interesting, huh? This is a scientific. So we have come at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. So this is not a sectarian religion. This process of bhakti is an universal science that is applicable to anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter which place, what country, what nationality, what gender, what planet. It is applicable to everyone and anyone, and it's perfect. There is no fault in it. But if other people perceive us as sectarian, that is our problem. That is our fault. That means we are hiding behind Krishna and the institution, but we are not fully acting as Krishna would have liked us to act, or Prabhupada. So therefore we have to be to reach out to others and encourage everyone's devotional progress, progress of devotional service. There was a question there.
What are the ten offenses is to have the material desires even after chanting? And at the same time in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that if you have any desires, please come to me. I mean, even if it's material. So how do we reconcile this?
It looks like contradictory order. To maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions. How was that? To maintain material attachments on this matter. Yes. Yes. So, if you don't understand fully the instructions on this subject matter, you may go to Krishna and you may ask him, I need this and I need that. But if you understand the instructions on this subject matter, you won't go. You understand? So Krishna may fulfill, but you will get burnt in the process also, because Krishna fulfills and burns the ego, the false ego, to purify, to bring you to Him, out of love, not out of envy. It's a crude example, but the doctor may beat an injection, you know, into your body and give you pain, but it's not out of envy. He's trying to help you. So Krishna similarly is beating you an injection like this. He fulfills your desire, but at the same time you get that painful experience with it, and you see, oh, okay, my desire was just garbage. So try to understand the subject on this matter. You see, everything is within. If you examine very carefully the instructions, the answer is within the instruction. I didn't have to go anywhere else. I just repeated the 10th offense carefully, and I immediately saw the answer in it. Hare Krishna. Yes,
question Mataji was asking, spiritual motivation, can it be that more sincerity, spiritual motivation, to become more sincere to Self Krishna?
Yeah, definitely. Spiritual motivation, to improve the quality
service.
Of my service constitutes sincerity, not the quantity. Sometimes people become workaholics 24/7. He is trying to do seva, but he burns himself within few years because his health becomes bad and whatever. And that is not real sincerity. That is devotional service in Rajagun. Then there is devotional service in Tamagun. One is chanting but is not following properly the scripture. His mind is all over the place. He doesn't follow certain requirements, regulations. He breaks the regulations of Shastra. Devotional service in Tamagun. And then devotional service in Sattva Guna means that one is very regulated, very focused, to organize his energy, his or her energy, so that they can actually perform devotional service properly. So one should know what's his capacity in terms of energy, and one should push themselves a little bit over that capacity so that we're never comfortable. We should push little over, but at the same time we should take sufficient rest and eat sufficiently. Krishna says one who eats too much or too little, sleeps too much or too little, is not a yogi. He's not a perfect yogi. So therefore, if you want to be a yogi, you have to find the perfect blend for your proper functioning within this process. So it's not about quantity, it's about quality. What is your consciousness while you're doing this service? Am I doing this Bhagavatam class so I can get the glory and all the devotees will say, Jai Haribo! It's a great devotee and worship you, and yes, yes, I'm a great devotee. Am I doing the class for that? Am I doing the class to glorify Krishna and serve the devotees, to enlighten the devotees with our little humble realization, so that we can become stronger in the performance of bhakti? That's what counts. It's not the quantity of the service. Quantity must be there, the required duties must be performed, but the quality must be increased. So if we want to increase the quality, that is possible. The quantity you may not be able to increase because your body has certain limitation. But the quality you can always increase. There is no limitation to increasing quality. Therefore, that's sincerity. The ladies make garlands here downstairs. I see sometimes for the deities, right? I saw you yesterday, Mataji. Oh, it was another lady. The same service that you do here, you'll do in Goloka Vrindavan. Garland for Krishna. The same service. But your consciousness will be different. So now we are practicing to change that consciousness so that we become eligible to make garlands for Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So it's not about quantity, it's about quality. So every time we do something, we have to check our consciousness. What is the consciousness? What's my motivation? Why do I do this? If you have material motivation, Krishna will give the injection. He'll give you what you want, but you'll get the injection as well. Out of compassion. Love. Krishna loves us all. So if we see, okay, I'm going to be doing this service now, but my consciousness is materialistic. My dear Lord, please help me to shift it to the proper quality consciousness. I may not have it, but by pretending, I can practice by pretending to develop that affection for Krishna. Like this morning, Mangal Arati, I was thinking, let me check what's my consciousness. The devotee was singing, you know. Sometimes we're mechanical, we just sing there. But we don't even know what we're doing. It's just mechanical, we're there. It's better to be there in a mechanical way than not to be there. But still, the quality of consciousness will determine what benefit you'll get from that. If your consciousness is low, you'll get that little benefit. And if your consciousness is huge, you'll get huge benefit. The same service, the same place, the same time, same, so many people, but one gets that much benefit and one gets that much level of consciousness. So therefore, don't be zombies walking around bodies, you know, like this, we lost. We should always look at the consciousness. No, what is my consciousness now? And if my consciousness is imperfect, if there is no gratitude for Krishna, if there is no desire for selfless service to Krishna while we are performing that particular duty or service, if we are not begging for the mercy of Krishna and Guru and for the blessings to make advancement, that means something is wrong with us. We are just sitting there. You see? So we have to be very careful. And it's nothing wrong to be in a wrong consciousness as long you spot it and you shift. Otherwise the advancement is very slow. My Guru Maharaj used to say, there is some devotees who have been chanting 20-30 years and they are still attached to lamenting and hankering and material energy. He said, what's wrong with all of you people? 20-30 years you're chanting and you're still hankering and lamenting after this material energy. That means you're doing something wrong. Where's the cleansing? My Guru Maharaj used to say, Bhaktirtha Maharaj, if I come to one place and if I leave and the place is the same as I came, then I haven't done my job. There must be cleansing. So devotees, we have to cleanse each other's hearts. Inspire each other to become purer and purer and purer with each and every moment even. So this is why we're here. This intensifies the Sangha. This makes it really valuable. That makes our life so enthusiastic, so ecstatic, so positive. You wake up in the morning and you feel, jai, what kind of service I can do today for Krishna? You know, what kind of adventure I'm going to get involved into today? Not that I wake up and go to Mangal Arati Prabhu. Jai, Bhij Nectar. So, we have to feel that enthusiasm, and that is there when there is cleansing. As soon as there is material contamination, the enthusiasm goes down. It's mechanical. We're doing it because there is an ulterior motive.
Just like
I don't know what time is prasharam. I don't want to keep the devotees.
Just like cleaning the Gundicha temple.
Yes.
Yes, and more was cleaning more and more and more.
Yes, like the Prabhus are doing now. Jai.
Well, I was just going to say, if they're doing the service in the wrong way, or doing over what's the limit, and stressing yourself out, and you become a friend with the devotee.
Yes.
And so they say, Hare Krishna to you, don't even bother. You know, so they're happy to see you come to office today, when you've done too much already in their own place. They don't even bother saying, Hare Krishna, you say.
I see that, yeah. Actually, that's an offense. If you see a Vaishnav and you don't greet that Vaishnav, that's an offense. If you're not happy by seeing a Vaishnav or Vaishnavi, you know, if you see one of the mothers, you know, and if you don't feel happy that this is a devotee and you honor them, that is an offense, actually. So this impersonal thing is, oh, these are these guys that are hanging around, you know, in fact my competitors. That is Maya. So this is cleansing. So they are doing gundicha, but we are also doing gundicha. Cleansing of the heart. So we are all, Krishna engages us in various different ways. So we should be grateful and we should keep praying, my dear Lord. Please force me. This is the prayer I'm going to share with you today. My dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best. The wind is banging, Prabhupada. My dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best, and what will give you the greatest pleasure. You can keep repeating that prayer. My dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best, what will give you the greatest pleasure. So this, Krishna will reciprocate with that. And then, don't get bewildered. Hey, why is this happening to me? Well, you asked to be forced. So that's why it's happening to you. So therefore, don't be afraid. Just ask Krishna to force you forward on the path of bhakti. Because if you can't force yourself, at least give your free will over to the Lord. My dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best, and what will give you the greatest satisfaction. The devotee doesn't just want to please Krishna. He wants to give the greatest satisfaction to Krishna. Although he feels at the same time I'm the most useless person. But he still wants to please Krishna to the topmost level. That is devotee. So that is the quality of practice that we need to have inside our heart. Thank you very much. Granturaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Arandi Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki Aur Premanande.